Spoilers and Fandom is like a book club for geeky stuff.
Join us as we delve into the depths of our backlogs and sift through the games, comics, shows, movies, and books that we haven't checked out yet.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Last time, we decided that we would change the intro, which is why the show started really abruptly.
Yeah.
But I still haven't figured out what we're going to put in the script. So soon, our intro will be changing. And for those of you joining us for the first time, in this show, we are talking about stuff that we decide to check out. You guys vote, we check it out, and we give our thoughts. The first half of this show, well, I say half, but the first part of this show is spoiler-free. The second part will have spoilers. And again, at the end of the show, we'll give you stuff to vote on.
Yeah.
Who are we?
I am Sujay. Yeah, good. Good you remembered. Yeah. I am Sujay, a.k.a. Hell's Knight.
I am Hillary, a.k.a. Hila2k2. You'll see me as that on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, welcome to Spoilers and Fandom. And today we're talking about Monstrous. Yeah. But first, we got a comment on
Instagram.
On Instagram for our episode on Mega Man Legacy Collection. MetaphorGamer97 says that the controls get better in the Legacy Collection 2.
Yeah.
Which I have to believe, because I think
it's a logical progression. Yeah, the games get better.
I think it's Mega Man 7 to 10.
Okay.
I think.
Are you going to pick them up? Are you going to try them?
If I finish this, yes.
Wait, you're going to finish all 6?
Yeah. Eventually.
Okay, cool. Okay,
fine. I need a break from my fingers hurting, but eventually, yeah. Maybe I'll do like a Mega Man every couple of months, like try and finish one of them. Because it's not that hard.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Anyways, so today we're talking about Monstrous Volume 1.
Yes. Which... I was wrong last time. It's not like 18 or 20 something issues.
Yes.
Sorry. It's 6 issues.
Yeah.
So if you've read 18, yay. If not, it's cool. The first 6 are fine.
Yeah, it's 6 issues or 6 chapters.
Yeah.
The volume divides it into 6 chapters.
Yeah.
And I mean, I came across this book from a bundle of Image Comics from, I think, 2018, from their Image Expo bundle.
Mm.
So it was, I think, the first 3 volumes are in it. Mm-hmm. Or the first 2 volumes are in it, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I think it started in 2015.
Yeah, they're still pushing it. Like, there's still comics for it coming out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my experience with Monstrous. I didn't know anything
about
this book. I literally knew nothing.
I was mad hype. Like, I really like Monstrous.
Yeah.
Because at the time, when it came out, I think, when was this? I'm actually trying to pull up when it came out. But when it was coming out, the writer is called Marjorie Liu.
Yeah.
And the artist is called Sana Takeda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has a cool name, man.
Yeah. So this was one of the first female-led comics to win awards across the board.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, the artwork is amazing. The writing is amazing. Everything about this just gathered so much hype.
Yeah.
And it was really, really popular. So I tried reading it, like, back then.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make it past, like, 2 issues. Because I was now waiting. But then I forgot other things, whatnot.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was kind of happy when this came out.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, let's talk about the art.
Mm-hmm.
Is the art heart?
Yes, it is.
Like, is it really all that?
Yeah, easily one of the best comics I've ever seen.
Visually,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, I thought so too. Particularly with like the backgrounds.
Ooh, man, there's so much detail.
Yeah,
You
know, it's more like architecture. That really, like, you know, like when you get the opening
mm-hmm.
in this book, you're seeing like some of the buildings and the way those are set up with the statues that they have in the background and the pillars and all that stuff. Like that detail is nuts.
Yeah.
It's not always there. Like,
yeah, it's noticed, not always there.
It's not always in every single panel, but when it's there, ooh.
It's there with a vengeance.
And more than that, the detail in the clothing.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Like the masks, the stuff, like the accessories that they wear. The only parallel, the embroidery, the only parallel, the only parallel that I can draw is, you know how Final Fantasy looks like?
Yes.
The art for Final Fantasy.
Yes.
That's how this looks like.
Yes.
This feels like an RPG through and through.
So this reminded you of Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the art?
Yeah, in terms of the art, it reminds me of Final Fantasy.
What else?
Wow.
Was there anything else? Or just Final Fantasy was it?
Okay, maybe unless it comes to me. Like, that's the first thing that springs to mind. Yeah.
Okay, for me, it was Bayonetta.
Yes, I can
see it. Mixed with, I guess, Final Fantasy as well. Because, like, the way they do the animal...
Yeah.
Like the animal creatures or the animal species, I'll say that. The way they've done them, they're very Japanese.
Yeah.
Looking like that dude straight up looks like Kimari but not blue.
Yeah.
Like Kimari from FF10. For those of you who've played it. Yeah. And Bayonetta, because like the women are drawn very well.
They're all beautiful except when they're not.
Yeah, except when they're not.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Their costumes are very reminiscent of
Bayonetta. Skin tight-ish stuff.
Yeah.
Shows off the figures.
And they're witches.
Yeah, and the witches.
As well. So, hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then later it gets...
Actually, wait. Just hold on. Yeah. If you've read... There's a manhwa called Feng Shen Ji.
Ah, yeah.
This also really reminds me of
that. This reminded you of that?
Yeah. Partly because of... On two levels. When there's a character who's introduced later who legit...
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, who legit would not look out of place in that,
kind of comic. Yeah. Yep,
literally, but also, just the scale of things feels very like Chinese, Eastern Asian mythology kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's super... It feels really unique, yet somehow familiar if you've played video games.
Even if you've just read like history, like it feels like a condensation of Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Asian general, like history, like mythology, into something new. It has a touch of all that into something totally new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because like the world isn't as Bayonetta.
Yeah.
If you get my meaning, like the lore, the world that it's set in, it's very now that world feels very witchery or European fantasy-ish.
Yeah, it's a fantasy. It's a fantasy world, but it has touches.
Yeah.
Of things.
Yeah.
Of touches of the familiar. Let's say that.
Well, what was your favorite part of the art?
Weirdly enough, like,
what's your favorite thing about the art?
My favorite thing about the art,
yeah.
I like seeing the ladies the way they're drawn.
Yeah,
I don't like it when like a comic book artist or manga or whatever when they draw a lady and it doesn't look like she's like when she's a badass and she doesn't look like a badass. Doesn't make any sense. You don't feel the connect. You don't feel like, is this real? Like, imagine if Wonder Woman was drawn like Betty from Archie Comics.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't follow. And a lot of female characters are drawn that way. For these ones, they all have a thing about them. There's a strength about them that I really, really like.
Yeah.
There's even, this might be better suited in the spoiler section, but there's one, I think they call her the matriarch or something. The lady, the mother superior.
Don't go into that. That is a spoiler. That's the last issue. Yeah.
I love her.
You love her. Yeah.
I love her. I love
her. She commands.
Yeah.
She's drawn in a way that like, exudes. Oh, you know what? Berserk.
Perfect.
Some of this stuff really reminds me of Berserk.
Yeah.
She reminds me of Griffith when he grows evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler for Berserk, though.
Berserk Soul. Okay, fine. Fine. Fine.
But yeah, Berserk is actually a really good reference, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot, as in, when you read this thing, when you read Monstrous, you'll feel a lot of familiarity.
Yeah.
And I think most guys will enjoy this.
Yeah.
I really do think guys will enjoy this comic. It's a slow burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're into fantasy, you will like this.
So let's talk about the world, because one of the issues that I've read about this book is it's giving you a lot of, there's like almost no hand holding.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Malazan, but maybe not as masterfully done. Because there's just a lot about the world that you're getting throughout the book, yet you still have questions about stuff.
Mm. And a lot of the beginning is flashbacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, like the twists in this book are just so wild. I don't even understand. Like one of the twists at the end of the book, we'll talk about that in the spoiler section, but I was like, how? How? Like,
yeah.
There's no way. Yeah. This is now too much.
Mm.
But yeah, the way the book delivers the information is in two ways. Like you either get it through the actual story and what's going on, and like characters' conversations, yada yada, or at the end of every chapter, they're giving you lore directly, because you're listening to a lecture given by cats, to student cats.
Yeah.
And that gives you the background of the lore and stuff if you have questions. So it's weird in the way it does that.
Yeah.
Because I guess I'm used to having that first and then going through the chapter. But yeah, it's weird with having it at the end.
It kind of reminded me of how Lord of the Rings has the appendices. So you'll read the story, and you'll get the story because it stands on its own.
Yeah.
But you get an added appreciation for what the story was.
Yeah.
Based on what you see in the appendix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like now in Lord of the Rings, okay, let me not get into that. But yeah, you get an appreciation for the lore of the book, of the comic.
Yeah.
From either part of the flashbacks of what you told directly.
Yeah.
Or from the back of the book now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, I've missed having cats, to refer to the back.
The cats are hilarious, yes, man. Yeah. The cats are just funny.
And they're so different. That's the thing that makes me happy.
So, yeah, like, in terms of this world, they're as far as we know, I don't know if this is a spoiler. Well, I'll save it for the spoiler section, I guess.
Yeah.
But one of the species of this world are cats. Cats are their own race in this world. You have humans, you have the Arcanics, you have a few others that I'll talk about later, and you have cats.
Yeah.
And the cats have multiple tails and they all talk. And like they have all these stereotypes associated with them, one of them being like they're liars and they're bad luck and you shouldn't trust them.
Yeah.
To, you know, them being like super into history and poetry and stuff. Like, poets seem to gain a lot of respect in this book.
Yes.
Like, they're literally historians. And I guess that ties into, like, bard stuff.
Yeah, because they're the keepers of stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I really like the cats.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like, I think that the way they do that is really unique. In terms of the lore.
Mm-hmm.
The grim setting that this thing is in is pretty screwed up.
Yeah.
This is a gory book. It is pretty gory.
Yeah, there's a lot of death. People lose limbs more than Star Wars.
See, losing limbs is less disturbing than eating limbs.
Well, yeah.
So it's really weird. Like the implications of what is going on, for example, in the opening issue in this monastery church kind of place that the first issue takes place in, what goes on there is pretty screwed up.
Yeah.
But we learn later what that's about, which we'll talk about in the spoiler section. But Yeah, like, it's not... This book is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
There is a bit of bloody horror stuff. The main character does not have a left hand.
From the elbow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her left hand is off. Or is it her right hand? It's her left hand. It's her left hand. It's her left hand, yeah. I think in one of the... this is in meta. But, like, in one of the social artworks I have made for this episode, I have kind of flipped the image.
Mm-hmm.
To have it fit with the writing, and so, and that will look like the right hand is cut off, but it's the left. Yeah, just so that you know. But yeah, so if you were a bit squeamish
with, you might want to.
This book is probably not for you.
Mm.
The other thing that it does really well with the art is horror stuff.
Yes.
In terms of, do you like tentacles? and do you like eyes? Oh, so another parallel. This book is very much like, the tone and the setting is very much like Full Metal Alchemist.
Yes.
Brotherhood and the other thing. Like that sense of dread and foreboding. This book has that.
And also the eye thing.
And the eye thing as well.
The eye thing, if you've watched or read Helsing,
yeah,
you'll see a lot of Alucard in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you know stuff about Cthulhu, there's a little bit of that there.
Let's just say there's cosmic horror involved in this.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's just jump. Let's just give a quick recap now of what the story is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the story is humans and arcanics are at war.
Yeah.
Humans are humans. Arcanics are sort of like these magical creatures. They're kind of animalish.
Yeah.
And humanish. I won't go into.
Because it varies. It depends which kind of creature you are and all those groups within the arcanics.
Yeah. And so the world is, they were at war. It's now peacetime. There's like a truce that's been drawn up. Humans have a faction within their federation called the Cumea, or the Cumaya. I don't know how to pronounce that word.
I read it as Cumea.
Yeah. So we'll go with Cumea. Yeah. And these Cumeans are basically witches. And they're sort of like a religious military force.
A church. Church militant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A church militant group for humans. Yeah. Crusaders, if you will, or paladins or whatever. But they're a little more screwed up. And they use a lot of propaganda and stuff to get what they want.
Yeah.
That's the gist.
Yeah.
And
they dabble in slavery.
Oh, they don't dabble in it. They they rely on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that later. Yeah. On the other side, you have the Arcanics who are divided into two groups, the Court of the Dusk and the Court of the Dawn. And Court of the Dusk are mainly silent. That's all we know.
Yeah.
We don't know why or what the deal is with those guys, but they have those basic kingdoms is what they have. And they have their own hierarchy featuring, like, another race and their own religion and blah, blah, blah. But it's mainly the humans that we find out more. We find more about the humans in this book than the Arcanics. Because most of it takes place in the human side and then...
Spills over.
And then spills over, yeah. So
from the courts of dawn and dusk.
Mm-hmm.
I got a very strong, like, fairy vibe from them.
Fairy?
Yeah. Like, you know, in... This is going to sound weird. Have you read... what's it called? Hellblazer. The Constantine comics.
No. Not the old ones.
Or Timothy Hunter. The Books of Magic.
No.
Okay. Also, for you listeners, if you can check them out, they're really short comics. Hellblazer is like 300 issues, but forget that. In DC, there's the Court of Fairy. So, where there's the Lord, the King and Queen of Fairies, who are Oberon and Titania, they're in classical literature, like Shakespeare wrote about these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is, I got a very strong like fairy vibe from these guys, like the, or elves, let me say that. Because they're almost,
yeah, they're very, yeah,
they keep themselves away from humans and whatever, because they look down on us, they look down on humans, they look down on the animals, the arcanics, sorry. They kind of want to stay in their own zone and just not be bothered with.
Yeah, they don't want to be bothered. They're secluded, I guess, or cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. The main character, though, is an arcanic.
Yeah. Micah Halfwolf.
Yeah, her name is Micah Halfwolf. Because you can't obviously have a more badass name than Halfwolf. So, she doesn't look like a wolf.
Maybe things really change. Okay, not as far as where we got.
Yeah, maybe later she becomes a wolf. I don't know. But like her mother was called Mariko. These are all like... Yeah. Mariko is like from Heavenly Sword. Like these are all like Japanese names. You know, like... So we start off the story with her basically getting taken to
the
Cumane facility as a slave, being sold there, and then it's sort of like intentional, and the story, I mean,
kicks off from there.
Yeah, the story kind of takes off from there. Yeah, and she's weird. She's got like a weird power.
Yeah.
Okay. And the thing with her power, I think we can talk about this because this is why it's called monstrous.
Yeah.
Is she has like something in her, and it's like, I'm just gonna call it like, it's like what if venom lived inside you and would come out now and then.
But a really, really powerful venom.
Yeah.
Like a god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this venom is quite fucked up, but also probably my one of my favorite things about this book.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like maybe not as stupid as
yeah, it's venom. It's not as stupid.
He's definitely smarter, and he's definitely way more arrogant. He has his own personality, and for some reason he's bonded to Micah.
Yeah.
We don't know why. We never find out why.
At least as far as we
know. As far as we know, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know why. But like, it, there's that, but she's also just a really powerful person.
Yeah.
Even besides that. Like yeah.
She can fight.
Like she, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like her arc, without going into spoilers, initially seems like a Punisher kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it really just does not go that way, and it becomes something else completely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a spoiler because that just ends in the first issue. What did you think about that?
Her arc?
Or the first issue? Without spoilers in the first issue. Like basically the story, how it unfolds without spoilers.
Ooh. Okay. Without spoilers for the first issue, it feels like an info dump, because a lot, like let's say about maybe a third of the first issue is literal flashbacks.
Yeah.
But it sets the stage for where the story goes.
Yeah.
In as much as it gives you certain characters that you can latch onto.
Yeah.
And it shows you the character of Micah as she, from where you start off with her.
Yeah.
And then you see her in her flashbacks, and then you see, you can now kind of start drawing parallels between who she is, who she was as a person, and what you think she can do.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you get involved in her story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Personally, I really enjoyed her story.
What did you think about her personality?
She's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
would you say that she's okay, I would say that she's kind of realistic.
She is, yeah.
Like, she's like a real person.
Yeah, she's dumb. She's completely
She does some dumb person. Things. She does some not so dumb things.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah.
But overall, yeah, she's totally believable as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you call her Mary Sue?
No. Hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no.
I would not either.
I remember I said this because of, what was it? It was Sabrina, yeah.
Yeah.
The god.
Yeah. No, this kicks...
Yeah, she'll kick Sabrina's ass.
Yeah. I thought she was really badass. She was. Her personality, I do find a little annoying.
But you kind of get... Yeah, you get why she's... You get why she is the way she is.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning... Okay, this isn't a spoiler. Because in the first issue, they make a big deal talking about a place that got destroyed in a war between the Arcanics and the humans called Constantine.
Yeah.
Or Constantine. I don't know how they pronounce
Constantine
it.
Constantine
yeah.
is fine.
So what happened there was like a huge release of energy and many people died.
Yeah.
But for some reason, she's one of like the war survivors. She's one of like the veterans of that... One of the survivors of that thing.
There, yeah.
Yeah, one of the few survivors of that cataclysm that happened.
Yeah.
So she carries a lot of baggage. She carries a lot of angst with her, a lot of anger.
Yeah.
And that's what's driving her forward. So once you look at her from that angle, you kind of understand why she's so...
And it's not ham-fisted, though.
Yeah,
with the way it's given. Like, with the Punisher, it's very... They killed my family.
Yeah.
I want revenge.
Yeah.
It's not nothing like that. It's not like Batman.
I can't feel anymore.
Batman's baggage.
Yeah.
Her, what she's trying to do is not apparent.
Yeah.
In at least the first, well, few issues. And the thing is, well, we'll talk about it. There's too much to talk about in the spoiler section. I think this is okay.
This is fine.
This is okay if I say this.
Mm.
But she herself doesn't really know what the hell she's doing.
Yeah, she's kind of winging it.
And we all... This is the thing that makes her so believable. We kind of know someone... We know people like her.
Yeah.
So it's easy to buy into her personality. And I really do appreciate that she's not just a generic template that we've seen before.
Yeah.
Like that she's not exactly the Punisher. She's not exactly Venom, whether that's Flash Thompson or Eddie Brock. Like, I like that she's not like that.
And even all the things that we've mentioned, the anime, the movies, the comics.
Yeah.
There's nothing standard about this comic. It's very... I don't want to say derivative, but it's familiar in because you... You've felt a lot of these things before and you've seen a lot of these things before. But the way they've been put together in this is really, really cool.
Yeah, it's like familiar but very unique, yeah.
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 But I sense there's a but there somewhere.
No. I was now thinking like Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe the grim stuff is a bit generic. Right? Like you know, like with Image books, we've seen it in Revival and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The way they do like horror moments and horror panels is kind of there.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether this is just the way it's done. I've mainly seen it in Image comics.
Was the John Carpenter one also an Image comic?
No. The John Carpenter one was a bit weirder.
It was weirder than this.
I thought that was because, like, that one scene still stuck in my head with the guy's face changing in the reflection.
Yeah.
That was really messed up.
Yeah.
What I'm referring to is, like, teeth and eyes.
Eyes and tentacles.
Teeth and eyes and maybe hair looking like tentacles. Like, Image do that quite a bit.
Yeah.
I've seen that in Morning Glories. We've seen that with Revival. And we're seeing it again here. But here... It's because it's like fantasy, it doesn't ever feel like horror for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't feel like horror as much as it feels like, wow, this is fucked up. Like, sorry for swearing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it always feels like this is just messed up rather than this is like freakish.
Mm.
So it does that a little differently, even though maybe they use the same tricks. I'll also say the way they do her eyes, like when things are about to go down, and she's about to kick butt, really trying not to swear. When she's about to kick butt, they do this close up of her eyes and her hair and stuff, and I think the way they do that is brilliant.
It is
so cool. So I really like that aspect about this as well.
It's super dramatic.
Yeah.
Like you feel like...
It really does command. Yeah. It's hard to tell sometimes what exactly just happened. Sometimes.
And then also there's one moment between I think issue 4 and 5 or 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Where something legit just happens.
Yeah.
At the end of the book.
Yeah.
And you don't know what happens. Then the next issue opens up like maybe a day later. And things have changed. Like, that fight has happened. Many people died. You've moved on from that.
I think that's the end of 6.
Yeah.
Which is where the whole volume ends. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if it was 5 or 6. It was one of those.
Although...
Okay, I might have ruined it for someone. Sorry.
No. I haven't read there yet. I haven't reached there yet, but we'll see. Okay, well... We've talked about the art. We've talked about the characters. We've talked about...
Like the story.
The story... What are we missing? I will have show notes next time, I swear.
Okay. But did you... Okay, overall, what did you feel
about it? I really like this book. Mm-hmm. I really want to read the next one.
Okay.
I really, really recommend this book. I'd give it an 8.
Ha!
Yeah.
We finally agree again.
Yeah, we've been doing that a lot, actually.
No. Maybe the last time...
Mega Man was 6 and 7.
Yeah. The last time we actually agreed on something was Monsieur Jean, John, and State of Mind.
Really?
Oh, wait, no. Santa Clarita was 1.
We did not like that one as much, yeah.
Yeah, but we agreed at least on the 6. The last thing that we rated this highly,
yeah,
both of us, was Isle of Dogs.
Yeah, but that's a movie.
Yeah.
That was a good movie. this is definitely an 8.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to know what happens next.
So you'll pick it up?
I can't wait. I already have it.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I'll probably read it a lot sooner than...
because
I want to know. I'm invested in this world. I really like the world
mm-hmm.
that it's set in.
Mm-hmm.
And I... Yeah, I'm. They've hooked me. I do like this book a lot. Like, this is, for me, this is not, maybe not the best Image comic I've read.
But it's up.
But it's definitely amongst the top 3, maybe even the second best one so far.
Wow, that's high praise.
So far, just side note,
mm-hmm.
best comic, Image comic I've read in terms of volume ones,
mm-hmm.
East of West.
Okay.
I still think East of West is better than this,
mm-hmm.
but that's really because of the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that this is probably second to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
For me, yeah, I'll also give it an 8.
Yeah.
Because I really like the vibe around this book. I like the art, I like the women in it, I like that it's written by women about women. So there's no weird, like, damsel in distress vibe. It's she's just going, getting down to business and just doing stuff.
The women in this book are cruel.
Yeah.
Actually, it's the guys who are really scummy, ugly looking. Well, except for the Arcanics, really. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all handsome, hunky dudes.
Yeah.
Just amazing guys. I like them too. But yeah, I like the vibe. I like the art of it. I like the story. I like the fact that it's both fantasy and horror, weirdly.
It doesn't feel like horror, though.
Yeah.
It is listed as like a fantasy horror, but...
It hasn't kicked in yet, maybe.
For me, it doesn't feel horror.
But no, okay, for me, the horror comes in when you stop. Okay, like, there's a moment when... I think it was in issue 6.
Mm-hmm.
When I stopped and actually started thinking about the monster itself. The thing inside her
mm-hmm.
and the way it talks, and it's so casual about like time and life and death.
It literally does not give a shit.
It literally doesn't care, and you're like, this is a totally alien concept to us. I can't think in the same way that this thing thinks. Then you start seeing now the aftermath of now Constantine and the things that it does. I looked at it like that and I was like, wow, that's kind of messed up. But I liked it in a weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say you're hungry for more?
Yes. Yes. famished even.
Yeah. Yeah, hunger is a thing in this book.
Yeah.
That you'll learn. Definitely read this if you haven't.
Yeah. 100%.
Unless, I would say the one caveat is if you are squeamish about gore, this is not for you. Yeah. And this does have cute animal characters as well. Like, there is, like, the typical anime cute fluffy thing that's there as a spectator.
Yeah.
Carries equipment around with the main character. That is there.
Wait, it's like that thing of yours in Monster Hunter.
Yeah, it's like the Palicore. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. There is an actual character like that. And that is not the cat. That is not the cat character who is my favorite character, I think, in this. Okay, let's go spoilers. So, again, if you're going to read this book, stop listening now. Go read it. And if you did read this book along with us, well, we're about to talk spoilers.
Yeah.
So...
Favorite character?
Favorite character, Ren.
Ren. Okay, fine.
I love Ren, followed by this monster.
Now, for me, it's the other way around. I prefer Ren first.
Yeah.
I mean, I prefer the monster first.
Yeah. The monster was cool.
Then, weirdly enough,
yeah.
One of the sisters, the dumb one, the one who can't talk, the really buff. Yeah, the hammer one.
The hammer.
Yeah. The really buff lady. I love her.
Yeah, the character designs in this book are amazing. They're so unique.
Yeah.
And they're so screwed up, like like the what are they called? The Inquisitrixes.
Yeah.
Ah, damn. Like one of them's the hot one who likes animals and has knives.
Yeah.
The other one is called the Hammer, doesn't talk and is wearing like full armor. Full plate
armor, yeah.
You
can't see her face, nothing. You just see that she's a big...
Well, that face reveal is going to be something special, I think. Basically, the mountain from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
If it was a woman.
Yeah.
And I guess more attractive because, you know, witches.
Okay,
You don't know, you can't tell. That's
yeah, we can't tell, yeah.
The other one, who's the older one of the two, I forget her name.
Uh-huh.
She looks older. And she looks screwed up. She has this malicious, sadistic look about her. Like she would be a very not pleasant dominatrix kind of look about her, is how I'll describe it. Not an attractive dominatrix, but she has that malice look.
Yeah.
And then you have Mother Superior, who you mentioned before.
I love Mother Superior.
Damn.
I love Mother Superior.
Dude, that reveal
was amazing.
Holy crap. Holy crap. I did not expect that. I did not expect that. I was like, what? For those of you who are listening and and you don't know what I'm talking about, the Mother Superior is the head of the Cumaeans.
Yeah.
And she's always wearing this mask. At one point when she's fighting, the mask gets removed and you get the reveal that she has three eyes.
Yeah, she has three eyes, not...
Vertical eyes.
Yeah, three vertical eyes.
Three vertical eyes that are very similar looking to whatever is inside Micah.
Yeah.
Who is a tentacle Cthulhu thing with eyes as well. So yeah, that reveal was crazy. But the biggest twist in this that honestly, I'm kind of weirded by is Tuya.
Yeah, I don't know now.
I don't understand.
I don't know what Tuya is up to.
No, it makes no sense. These two were slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuya and Micah. So, again, Tuya and Micah grew up together. They're like best friends or lovers? I don't know.
Best friend. I went with best friends.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They might be together. I have no idea. But they care about each other. They know each other really well. In the end, it's revealed that Tuya is like sort of like an antagonist on the Arcanic side.
Yeah.
And she's the one who literally was like, I need to kill Micah. But you don't find that out till literally the last panel.
Yeah.
How does that work? Like for me, this twist is just the weird twist. It threw me off completely. I'm like, how?
But maybe she's... Okay, maybe... Okay, the thing that I thought about when Tuya reappeared and she says she's now on the hunt for Micah.
Yeah.
Is she's out to save Micah in a weird way. She wants to kill her because of the monster inside her.
Does she though? Because like these two were sleeping in the same room.
Yeah.
They were sleeping in the same room before Micah went out for her mission.
Yeah.
She was supposed to meet Tuya.
And then 2 year vanished.
And then 2 year didn't show up. 2 year effed off.
Yeah.
And didn't show up.
And set her up for the ambush.
And like, what was the point? Why didn't you just wait and take her? Like, I don't get it.
Or maybe she thought like the Mother Superior and the Kumea would kill her.
She sent Ren to deliver a message that I won't wait for you and this and that. Like this 2 year thing
is very strange.
Really threw me off.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on.
Because I thought that Ren was in it just to watch her, just in case she got out.
Yeah.
In case she escaped, in case she managed to escape.
Yeah.
Ren is the one who's basically meant to take her to Tuya. And then Tuya deals with her from there. But then for whatever reason, Tuya went now scheming, doing her own other things.
Yeah.
Setting her up with the Court of Dusk and other Arcanics. So I don't know.
Yeah, she's like a baroness. They call her baroness?
Yeah.
And this...
Even Micah is Lady Micah. Lady Half-Wolf.
Well, yeah. Corvin. Sure. Corvin, who is the angel-looking dude.
Handsome.
Yeah.
Tall glass of water.
He calls her lady, and he's supposed to be...
Royalty from...
According to whatever is living inside...
Micah.
He senses this guy's strength, and he's like, "This guy's tough to deal with. You shouldn't trust him."
Even me at full strength,
I would have trouble dealing with this guy. And this guy's the second person you've met and not realized how powerful this person is.
Yeah.
So like, and he's taking orders from Tuya.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who do you think that the other one is? Like, the other most powerful person that she's met is...
Randomly, Ren. He's a necromancer.
He's a necromancer. I don't think it's Ren.
Dude, Ren is a sleeper agent.
I'm sure Ren is awesome. Like, Ren is my favorite character.
What was that guy called? The bearded cat dude? I really liked that guy when he showed up.
Tammy?
No, that was Professor Tam Tam. No, that's the guy at the back.
No, you're talking about the guy with the swords.
Yeah, the guy with the swords.
Yeah, his name is like Tama or Taba or something like that.
Nah, I'll find it. It's okay.
Yeah. dude, he's a cat with a pirate's eye patch. Dual-wielding, like, swords, man. Like, dude.
It is so cool.
If Puss in Boots got, like, became more badass, like, this is the guy, like...
Man, I really enjoyed it. I really liked
the characters in this book are amazing. Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, and he has like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tails.
Yeah. So the cats, yeah, they have multiple tails. Who would the other person be though? It is bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's either Tuya or the other guy who was a slave. The Kimari looking
the big dude.
The Kimari handsome looking dude.
How about, what's her name? The mother of the lady who was killed? The one with the half-burned face.
The mother of the lady that was killed? Who?
The one Yvette? With the half-burned face.
Yvette? Sophia?
I think it was Yvette. I'm not
Sophia was the really attractive one who got burned completely.
Not her, not her mom.
Yvette.
I think
Yvette's just a witch. I don't think she would be, because this
she had a fragment arcanic, of the mask,
but she had to be arcanic. Was the deal?
Dude, look at that face, man. There's something not very normal about her. Like she reminds me of Balalaika from what's it called?
Baba Yaga.
No. What's that anime called? I'm forgetting the damn name. Black Lagoon.
Oh, no.
She looks like Balalaika from Black
Lagoon. No, Balalaika was way prettier. Way prettier.
Okay, imagine if Balalaika was older. That's it.
No.
It's right there, man. Burnt face. No,
I don't
smoking.
Anyways, I don't think it's her. But we can wager, because
yeah.
I mean, that's something I really want to know. And that's something that the book has done really well. They've planted these seeds of, oh, do you want to know this? Yeah. Ah, we won't tell you now.
And she's also been set on her tail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically the plot, we can talk about it now.
Yeah.
Is her escaping out of the commune thing, and she's trying to find answers as to who she is or what she is, and that's basically her story.
Yeah.
And these first six issues, they take place of her just trying to get away from the commune place and figure out where the hell she needs to go next.
Yeah.
That's basically the gist.
Yeah.
And there is sort of her coming to terms with whatever is inside her.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, yeah.
Yeah.
And though the world... Okay, now we can talk about the other races.
Mm-hmm.
So the ancients are sort of like parents to the Arcanics, but they're immortal.
Mm.
They can't really die, but we find out that if they do die, they produce like powerful stuff, which is why the human... the witches really like them.
Yeah.
Because they harvest their bones... after they're dead, and their bones give them magical abilities.
Yeah. Or enhance, and heals them. And
heals them, yeah, yeah. Which is why the war was going on in the first place.
Yeah.
Basically, humans are... I was going to say swear, but yeah, humans are garbage. But yeah, it's one of those books. Anyway, so you have the ancients, and then you have a phenomenon that occurs called ghosts, or... Yeah. Monstrums, where randomly you will just see a giant creature with tentacles and weird eyes walking around, but it's sort of like you can see them, but they can't see you.
Or they can't interact.
They can't. Yeah, yeah, they're not really a part of the. They're ghosts basically, yeah. But it's like a phenomenon that happens all over the world, and. The Arcanics kind of worship this and blah, blah, blah. The reason I'm telling you this is the thing that's inside Micah looks like one of them.
Yeah. And if you can picture
the
corruption of the forest spirits in Princess Mononoke.
Yeah.
That's how they look like.
Yeah, yeah. One looks like a bird thing. One looks like... Yeah, they look pretty twisted.
Yeah.
And... I think some people even refer to them maybe being descendants of the old gods who are evil.
Yeah.
And so I really like the lore of this thing, because the implication is, yes, they're the old gods, but whatever's in Micah is something that opposed the old gods.
Yeah.
And again, the implication is whatever the Mother Superior is, she is an old god.
Yeah. So she's already directly at odds with Micah.
Yeah. And she is trying to, I guess her thing is she's trying to screw the world, really, is her thing. I get the feeling that her arc will be something like she's either trying to bring all the old gods back.
Or she's just in it for the power.
Or she's, yeah. Because they have a confrontation. I don't remember the words exactly when they're fighting. Like, let me do this and join me and we will blah, you know.
We will rule the galaxy together.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, yeah. Very much that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or I will free you from Micah is the deal that she tries to strike.
With the monster.
With the monster inside.
Yeah.
So.
It's an interesting story. Like,
yes, it is.
I'm fully, even me too, I'm fully committed to going, to seeing it through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really curious. And it's still... Okay, what is your favorite part of this book? Like, there's so many, though.
Okay. My favorite part?
Yeah.
Was in issue 6.
Uh-huh.
When she's locked in the sarcophagus.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't now... She's not awake.
Yeah.
And the monster is in her thoughts.
Yeah, this was such a Bleach thing as well, by the way.
When... Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Zangetsu.
or Naruto. Yeah, they're inside
her mind.
Her mind and having conversations.
And he calls her mind, inside her mind, he calls it a recursive memory or recursive thought process or something like that.
Yeah.
I found that really cool. Like, the monster is trying to learn about who she is by going through her memories.
Yeah, because the monster doesn't understand why this person is... Why Micah?
Why is she this powerful?
Why is she this way? Why is she so hunted? Is how he puts it.
And then now the whole discussion between now the monster and Micah when...
Micah's subconscious, yeah.
Yeah, and he's telling her, just submit. Let me be in control and I'll get us out of this. Yeah. And Micah being the difficult person that she is... To be honest, being the person that we all would be in the same situation,
yeah,
refusing until she finally does give in.
Oh, but she strikes a deal with
him. She strikes a deal with him, but she does give in.
If you do this, she says, the deal sounded cool.
Yeah.
And very Bleach. Again, if you do this for me, I will give you something you want. What could I possibly want? I will tell you your name. It's such a Bleach thing, dude. Yeah. It is so...
But imagine something so old it's forgotten its own name.
Yeah.
Because he was perfectly willing to chill another 1,000 years in her bloodline.
Yeah.
Not even in her.
And dude!
In her bloodline.
The seeds that they have planted is so crazy. He's like, even if you die, I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
Because there's find someone else host. Like you.
Yeah.
There's someone else like you who I'll pass on to. And Micah's again like, what?
What?
And again, you as the reader are like, what?
like Scooby-Doo, man. Yeah. He's like, huh?
Yeah. So the way, I think this book is just really masterfully like planted seeds. Yeah.
Really, really well written. Yeah. Really, really well written. I haven't come across a comic that made me this happy to read. Like right before, like yesterday.
Yeah.
Because we were supposed to have recorded this podcast a long time ago.
Yeah, I've been sick and now I'm moving, by the way.
Yeah, and I've had like a weird, crazy couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So yesterday when I thought we were going to record yesterday, but then the rain ruined that for us.
Yeah.
I quickly flipped through all the issues again.
Yeah.
I went through 1 to 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to read it again, just for the sake. And I don't know, like, this is something that I could honestly reread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some really good bits in it.
Yeah.
Like that you would want to go back to.
Yeah.
Your favorite moment, you said, was the...
Was when the strike in the deep, when he's going through her memories and they come up, they have that discussion. Okay. I really like that bit.
For me, my favorite part is when all this crap is going down and it was in the second issue.
Mm-hmm.
When they get tracked by the first Inquisitrix.
Yeah.
And, you know, these... Like, you know, stuff has gone down. These people are feared all over the land. And she comes up behind them. And she kind of sneaks up. And she's like, I'm going to kill you now and take you back in pieces. You know, whatever threat. Yeah. That's not the threat she uses, but...
There was a threat involved. She comes
with this... Yeah. With this intimidating... thing, and she has like a really sharp looking sword, right?
Mm.
And the cat, out of fear, proclaims his greatness. And just reading that, I laughed so hard. It was so good.
You know what? Let me read it. It was
such a tense moment, and the cat just reads that little bit, and I'm like, wait, what is the cat badass?
The actual
no one believes a cat.
Okay, that's I don't know. Do you want to read the line?
Yes. Read the line. It's brilliant. It's just brilliant.
So the cat, this, what's his name again? Ren.
Ren.
Shouts, Inquisitrix be warned. I am Commander Ren Momorian, apprentice necromancer to the great and ancient two-faced Zorian of White Claw House. I have raised the ancient dead. I have fought the wraithmen of the Forsaken Forests. Cross me at your own peril. She unsheathes her sword. The cat says, you can't blame a cat for something.
Yeah.
And runs.
And runs.
He says, flee. And runs.
Yeah. Dude, that was my favorite part. I keep hitting you. That was my favorite part in this book. Like, it was so, it's like such a tense moment. And this guy, it's like he panics. You know, like, I picture someone playing video games and they just panic with their ultimate.
And miss. Yeah. Yeah, this was really
cool. It was great. Yeah, that was my favorite moment.
I almost wish this was an anime. I almost wish it was an anime.
There's no way they could do this as an anime. I'd love to see it as an anime, but the amount of detail is mind-numbing. Yeah. Your budget would be
ridiculous.
It would have to be like way out of this. I don't know how you could do it to do this book justice.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the, I mean, the devil is in the detail in this book. Yeah. Like this is just too much.
But it would be an awesome anime.
Amazing
anime. Yeah. Like, even at some point, like now towards the end, in issue 6, 7, when she gets, what's his name? The Dusk Guy.
Yeah.
When she takes his airship.
Yeah.
And escapes.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, oh, so this is now when you have an airship in the game and you're able to, like, visit the world at your leisure. So in my head, I was like, oh, this would be a cool game to play.
A good game, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what game it kind of reminds me of? I haven't played it yet, but like Tales of Berseria.
Pupsy would love this.
Yeah. It has like shades of that, like with the monster thing and her being like corrupted and yada, yada, yada.
Okay.
It does have shades of that. So, yeah. Like, this again, this book has shades of
many things. Yeah.
But it still it's feels very original. Really unique. Yeah.
Very original, very unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still an 8 out of 10 for me.
Yeah. Even but for me, like, it's still an 8.
I could easily see this being amazing, like, in the next issue. Like, better than this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I have...
I fully expect the next issue to be much better.
Because I have, like... 18 issues, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll read... I think I'll read all these.
Yeah.
As we're also watching the next thing that we're done.
Okay, so we're done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, that's it for the show. But first, we're going to talk about what won the last vote.
Yeah.
And I'm getting next pick over books.
Yeah.
And I only have 2 things for you guys to vote on, which I'll talk about after we talk about the polls.
Okay.
So, our last vote was for what we're watching. It was between Dark, The Boys, and Wu Assassins.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who voted.
Thank you.
Yes.
I was very surprised on Twitter.
We really appreciate it. Like, it really means a lot. Like, when we see you guys voting, like, in, like, these numbers, it's really something. So, thank you so much.
Yeah. I think I chatted you like for 3 days straight, just telling you numbers going up.
What? Yeah.
We're 20, we're 30, because we're used, I don't know. Like, I know.
Yeah, it's normally like a handful.
It's normally a handful of guys. So seeing numbers like these really, really was
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks. Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening and supporting the show.
Yeah.
The votes are in.
Yeah, the votes are in. I've been tallied.
And so you got the 6 from Instagram and the 3 from Instagram, right?
They're not 6.
They were 6.
There were 9 on Instagram.
What?
Yeah, 3 more.
Huh? Yeah. No, they're 9 in total, right?
Yeah, they're 9 in
they're
total.
They're 9 in total, but 6 for one thing, 3 for another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So on Twitter, we had... Oh, how do I do this?
I just give the totals.
Give the totals?
Yeah.
Okay. So the show that I'll go with Twitter first because Twitter is what surprised us.
Yeah.
No, I'll go with Twitter first because Twitter is what surprised us the most because of the high voter turnout.
Okay.
So according to the Twitter stats,
yeah,
Wu Assassins had the fewest number of votes with 7.
7.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then The Boys with 10 votes.
Uh huh.
Then weirdly, Dark won on Twitter with 15 votes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, as far as I was concerned, from my end, I thought we were watching Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dark is a German show, very Stranger Things, very dark. So, I was cool with that.
Uh-huh.
I was cool with all of these. But yeah, I was like, okay. So I never thought that many guys would be interested in watching Doc. But hey.
Yeah. Well, when there's a big following on one of the anime groups here.
So. For real?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
There are a lot of guys praising the show.
Yeah. Like, I watched episode 1 of Doc and Assassins.
Yeah, you so cheated.
Either way, I was cool with them.
Yeah.
But then now we go to Instagram.
Yeah.
Going over to Instagram, we had 3 votes for Assassins.
Yeah.
No votes for Doc.
Yeah.
But 6 votes for The Boys.
Yeah.
So once you tally all 3 of those up, you have now your final total of 10 votes for Wu Assassins, which I'm sad for. Mm-hmm. My brother actually voted for Wu Assassins.
Okay.
Yeah. Second, by a sliver.
Yeah.
A sliver was Dark with 15 votes.
Uh-huh.
But the one that won overall was The Boys with 16 votes.
Wow.
So someone out there, whoever you are, on Twitter, on IG, the last person to vote for The Boys, yeah. you were the swing vote.
Yeah.
Cheers. So we're going to watch The Boys now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's The Boys.
Yeah.
So this is not on Netflix. We've been downloading it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's on Amazon Prime.
Or we'll be watching it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Because we have that.
Yeah.
I think. But we don't.
No, we do.
Sure. Yeah. So The Boys. Watch that. And in the meantime, our next vote is on books. And that's my pick.
Yeah.
But this time, I'm not picking from the bundle. And it's sort of like an easy... It's an easy vote.
Mm-hmm.
The first book is The Death House Gates, which is the second book of the Mao Zan Book of the Fallen, which is the book we've read on this show.
Before.
Yeah. Well, we've read the first book on this show, which is... Gardens of the Moon.
Yeah.
The second book is called Death House Gates.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't started it yet,
mm-hmm.
but I am torn between this and starting the Witcher book series. Mm-hmm. And according to Google, the first book I should read in the Witcher series is called The Last Wish.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a collection of short stories.
Okay.
So that'll be a little different.
So you will put up the poll.
Yeah, it'll be between those two.
Okay.
So. I was considering putting another one, but really, it's these two. It's
yeah, let's one of make these it. Two yeah, let's make it 50,
that I
50.
Want. That I want to pick between.
Yeah.
So yeah. Enjoy that. Enjoy voting for that.
But now, okay, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If it ends up being the Malazan book, I have to finish book one.
Yeah, you do.
So I kind of have
to. I don't know what you're sitting on your butt for with that book. That is one, literally the best book I've read. So.
Okay, you let's need to do finish this.
It, dude.
By the time the poll is done,
yeah,
I'll have finished book one.
Good.
So whatever happens,
and
if it ends up, dude,
if they
vote
on The Witcher, then you're basically the Witcher, like,
I'd be so pissed off.
At least you'll be done.
Okay, at least I'll be done with book one. Yeah.
Because I really want to get to Dead House Gates.
Okay, cool.
I can't wait to see what that world has. At the same time. The Witcher series is going to be coming out, and it's based heavily on the books. I want to read the books first.
Okay, cool.
Having played The Witcher 1 and 2, by the way, I haven't played 3.
Okay. So, I've only played 2.
Okay. One's my favorite.
Yeah.
I really liked 1.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I have about a week to put up to finish book, to finish Gardens of the Moon. Mm. I can do it.
You can do it.
Yeah.
It just gets better.
I'll read it. I'll finish book one before we do the poll. By the time the poll is over, I'll have finished book one.
Yeah. So watch The Boys in the meantime, and then look out for the votes on Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah. And thank you again for listening. Thanks. We really appreciate the listens. Whatever your preferred podcast platform is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And have fun.
Yeah. Catch you on the next one.
Do you have an opinion on what we just discussed? Did we miss something? Tell us in the comments section and we'll read it in the next episode. If you're listening on Anchor, send us a voice message and we'll add it to this episode. Don't forget to follow our podcast on Twitter @SpoilFans for updates. And follow our Instagram for behind-the-scenes action at Spoilers and Fandom. Also, subscribe to us on YouTube and Anchor to get the latest episodes.